Blog Talk Radio.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it closed for repair. Wandering in my desert, your oasis appears. You're like a long cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you, I know you, I do. So can you feel it? Tell me I need to know.
Everybody, it's Mark Rawson. I'd like to welcome you to our monthly radio show, which is the Men's Spiritual Hour. As you know, every month we like to have one show that we dedicate to bringing on a man who's on a spiritual journey and to create kind of a group where men can, not only men but women can kind of tune in and listen to some of the spiritual advances that are happening for some of the men in the spiritual world. We were kind of talking about it a little bit before the show got started today, about how, the numbers are starting to change. Originally, I think for a lot of us when we first started, there wasn't a lot of men in the field. I remember, going back and not that long ago, I'd say maybe 4 years ago, I would go to a lot of spiritual conferences and it would basically be about 400 women and maybe two or three guys. Now you go, there's definitely more guys involved. So it's definitely great to see that, the men are awakening, they're getting on their spiritual journeys, they're starting to awaken and all that kind of stuff. So with that, let me go ahead and just do the normal spiel. You're listening to the Men's Spiritual Hour, and we're on Spiritual Connections Radio, and we're on every month from 8 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays, once a month. And to find out more about this and other shows, go to our website. From the website, you can also go to the archives and listen to all the old shows. And for not only this show, but all the rest of the shows on Spiritual Connections Radio. So to find out about all that, you can go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'm going to bring my co-host in. Mike, are you there?
Hi, Mark.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So how was your trip? I think you just got back from Arizona just in time to start shoveling, huh?
Yeah, I had a wonderful trip to Sedona in Flagstaff, Arizona, and weather was beautiful, and now I'm back here in Pennsylvania, and it's cold as all get out and snowing.
Mm-hmm. Now, before you went to Sedona, where did you go? Were you in Flagstaff?
Well, I traveled between Sedona and Flagstaff. Sometimes we stayed in Sedona and went up to Flagstaff and came back.
Mm-hmm. And what was the energy like in Flagstaff?
It was definitely a lot more laid back than here in the East, and it's a smaller town, so you get a feel that a lot of people kind of know each other. And Sedona is an even smaller town, so you feel like everybody even knows each other even closer in Sedona than Flagstaff. And, of course, I don't have to say how great the energy is in Sedona. It's just amazing.
Uh-huh. So what kind of amazing things did you do when you were in Sedona?
I did a lot of hiking, and I got to go to one of my favorite spots was the Holy Church of the Cross, which is actually the church that is built into the side of the rock. And I did go there two or three times during my trip there just to just kind of hang out and meditate a little bit. And it's just beautiful when you look out the windows of that church and see the light coming through and you're up high on the rocks. And, of course, I was over by Bell Rock a lot, too, and got some awesome photographs of that. And so it was just very, very relaxing, very powerful. Almost feels a little magical there. Things, when you have a real positive attitude, seem to really fall into place. And there's a lot of great things that happened on the trip that my friend and I took where we were just – our luck was great. You know what I mean? Just really, really great.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think our friend Benny was traveling, so I assume you didn't get a chance to meet up with Benny when you were out there in Sedona?
No, I actually did contact him before my trip, and it turns out that he's on a tropical island somewhere, so he's in a much warmer place than probably any of us right now.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people know that. First of all, if anybody wants to look for a great person as a tour guide, make sure to check out Benny. He is actually up on my sister's site, spiritualjourneynj.org, and that's where I have all my spiritual resources and a lot of recommendations. And he's on the main page under recommendations as a great tour guide. I had used it's funny because I had done a search for shamans all over the world, trying to find somebody I could use for Sedona, and it's like three or four, you know, kind of spirit gives you that synchronicity. I had like three or four people point me to using Benny when I was there, and I've worked with him, and then I've done a couple other trips with him in the United States, including, you know, camping in the Grand Canyon and some stuff on the tribal lands. He has a lot of relationships with the different Indian tribes in the United States, so just does the most amazing journeys. So if you want to find out more about him, check out him. He's up on spiritualjourneynj.org under recommendations, and he's listed as Benny. And he's basically a man who's a psychic who uses his abilities to customize tours for you. And he works with everybody from Joe Schmo to multi-billionaires. That's probably why he's on an island right now. He has a private aircraft, probably. He's probably landed somewhere in some tropical island and taking somebody on, like, cave diving or something. So just an absolutely amazing man to kind of spend time with. But, Mike, why don't you go ahead and introduce the great guests we have today.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Okay, tonight on the show we have Mark Morillo. He's the founder of In Spirit Healing, and that's out of his offices in Union, New Jersey, where he offers reconnective healing sessions as well as therapeutic acupressure. And Mark, we're really great to, really excited to have you on the show tonight, and we would like to hear a little bit more about what you offer.
Yeah, hi guys, how are you? Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's great having you on, Mark.
The work I offer, you know, it's not so much about fixing things. It's not so much about figuring out what a problem is and trying to fix it. It's all about connecting to source, connecting to the divine, and helping you to achieve your highest potential. And as you connect to your highest potential, as you're propelled forward into your future, forward into your higher potential, healings happen because they need to, because obstacles need to be lifted out of your way so that you can unfold, so that you can expand into more of who you really are. So it's really about empowerment first. And the side effect is healing. And it may be, you know, a physical healing, a disease, or some kind of physical affliction being lifted away from you. It may be mental or emotional healing, some kind of blockages that are in your way that are preventing you from moving forward. But we can't necessarily direct, you know, the healing specifically at what we want if it's not appropriate. It's always the healing that always takes place is appropriate for that time in your life. It's that obstacle that needs to be lifted right now so that you can move forward in your journey.
That's really cool. So, you know, Mark, you know, excuse me, tell us a little bit of the story. I mean, are you, you know, we'll start with the basics and then we'll go back and figure out, like, you know, the beginning and stuff like that. But, you know, do you do things besides healing? Like, are you psychic? Are you in tune? What other gifts do you have?
Not this time. You know, I'm developing my psychic abilities, but, you know, the way it started, well, before I got into the healing or anything, I was playing a lot with, you know, angel cards and tarot cards and stuff like that. And so when I was shuffled through a deck, you know, you get that intuitive pull. Your hand kind of gets pulled to a certain card or something like that. And I was using this for myself, to support myself in, you know, divination and for self-guidance. When I got into healing, that intuitive pull of the hand was very, very useful. And so it's almost the same thing. It's, you know, what I do is I feel around during a healing session. You just lay down comfortably on a massage table, and I feel around to where that pull takes me. And where my hand is pulled to, that's where I know I'm needed at that time, and I just stay there until I'm no longer needed.
Mm-hmm. So how did you first get started? I mean, you said you started with angel cards and everything. Was there anything you did before that? Like, was the angel cards like the first introduction to something in spirituality, or, you know, where did it all start? What was the first turning point in starting your spiritual journey?
I mean, you know, as a teenager, basically, I got really bored with school, and I started reading some really interesting spiritual books. And you know, I'd read about shamanism and a little bit counterculture and stuff like that. But it wasn't until 2007, when I was just shortly before my 21st birthday, where I was finally, you know, I was feeling very unsatisfied, and I just knew I could do more. And I prayed. And I asked for God, you know, I said, show me, you know, I know I have more potential. And show me that. Show me what my potential is. Show me, you know, what can I do that I'm not doing? Because I felt so unfulfilled. And I just spent the next few weeks, you know, reading the books I wanted to and just kind of feeding myself, giving myself the sustenance that I needed to thrive. And within a few weeks, I was just daydreaming one day. Just daydreaming, not meditating, not in a mountaintop, just daydreaming here in, you know, New Jersey. And the thought came to mind to imagine a beam of golden light shining down on me straight from the sky above. And I could feel this energy start to fill me. And it filled me with love. It filled me with joy. And I could feel my heartbeat throughout my whole body. And I just felt this golden light really start to fill my body and to fill my soul. And I didn't recognize it as healing. I, you know, never heard of Reiki, never heard of healing or anything like that. It wasn't even my vocabulary. I knew it was significant. I knew it was spiritual. And I knew it was being guided by a higher power. It felt good. And so I wanted to share it. And so I just imagined, like, these rings, like ripples in a pond, these rings of golden light going out to the world around me, out to the horizon. And it wasn't until a few weeks later, you know, that a friend had given me a business card for a woman who was a healer. And, you know, I went to her for some sessions, and she started to teach me some things. And she said, well, basically the way I work, the way I do healing, this woman would say, is I imagine white light coming into me, flowing into the top of my head. I'm like, oh, that's what I've been doing the past few weeks. So it just kind of happened one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was introduced very shortly to people who would point me in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Mike, did you have a question?
Yeah. Mark, we got two Marks.
Yeah.
So Mark, anyhow, did you envision did you get to a point where you envisioned that you were going to be offering this kind of work, and that that you were going to have your location, you know, in New Jersey and things like that? Did you go through a process where, because I know anytime somebody starts a new business, there can be a lot of fears, a lot of doubts, you know, there can be a lot of things that get in the way. But did you actually get to a point where you had a vision and said, hey, this is what I want to do, and I want to open my office here? You know, sometimes even choosing a location can be like a really amazing process where it just kind of pops out at you one day. You're like, wow, this is the place for me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, over the next few years, I was learning things, reading different books, meeting different people, but no, it wasn't right away. And I didn't really identify myself as a healer or anything like that. But, you know, I was continuing to visualize and kind of, so it was very internal for a few years, from 2007 to 2010. It was completely internal, and I was just kind of developing this, I guess people would call it light work, but this visualization. I was kind of developing this within myself. And it wasn't until 2010, a few years later, that I really decided, you know, okay, now's the year. I feel ready. I know that I'm worthy, and I know that I'm capable of really helping people. And that was the year that, you know, I went to seminars, and I got professional training in reconnective healing. And, you know, I learned Reiki. I learned other things as well. And that was in the spring of 2010. Even then, when I was getting my training, I had no idea that I would have my own office, that I would have my own healing practice by the end of the year, just 6 months later. So it was kind of just one thing after the other, one thing leading to the other. But, you know, basically, once I said, I'm ready, doors just opened up.
Yeah, no, that's what it's wonderful. That's amazing, too, how fast it can happen sometimes, you know, because there's so many things in life where we can spend years on one particular talent or something, and then when we jump in with 2 feet, boom, it all, you know, kind of falls into place.
And that's exactly how it was, you know. Like, I just knew the next step. I didn't know the second step. You know, I just knew, you know, I'm ready for this next step, not knowing, you know, what steps were ahead. And, you know, as far as opening in Union, yes, it's where I grew up, you know, and I wanted to be able to serve my community. I wanted to be able to share my journey and my gifts with the people in my area.
Mm-hmm. So could you tell us a little bit more about the reconnective healing for, you know, for I know Mark Rawson, I know you're very familiar with it, but I'm only semi-familiar just from talking to you about it. Previously, Mark, and, you know, if you could give us a little overview of what a session is like and so forth.
Right. Well, you know, reconnective healing accesses a very broad spectrum of healing energy. So some people are familiar with Reiki and other modalities, and they're all beautiful, but reconnective healing really tries to kind of let go and let God. It really, the training is mostly for the healing practitioner to be able to kind of get out of their own way and to not see yourself as, you know, I have to fix this. Because you don't know. You don't know what's appropriate necessarily, what needs to be healed. You know, there may be, someone may have an affliction, some kind of limitation, whether it's a physical disease or an emotional trauma, and maybe they're not ready to let it go. So with reconnective healing, nothing is forced. And the healer, you know, I as a healing practitioner, I'm not making anything happen. So you come in and you lay down on my massage table on your back comfortably for about 35 minutes. And what I'll do is I'm not going to touch you, but I'll kind of hover my hands over you about, you know, a few inches above your body, maybe a foot or so above your body. And I kind of feel around until I have that pull, until something sticks. And it kind of, to me, it feels almost like a magnet, like a magnetic pull. And I just kind of stay there because I know that's where I'm needed. And, you know, you, as a receiver, may experience a variety of things. Some people feel heat. Some people feel cold. Some people feel tingling or static electrical fields. Some people feel a variety of sensations. Some people don't physically feel anything, and they just feel the peace of God come over them. But essentially, it's not limited to where my hands are. The entire body becomes immersed in this beautiful healing energy. And the experience is entirely between you and the divine. I don't play any particular music. I don't have aromatherapy because sometimes people might hear their own music from the, you know, celestial realms. They may have a smell from the divine. You know, they may smell one of their guides. So we try to keep it very simple so that everything you experience, everything you feel, again, I'm not even touching you, everything you feel, sense, and notice is entirely your experience. It's your interaction with the divine. And, you know, people have had in just one session, but sometimes, you know, up to two or three sessions, people have had pain taken away, inflammation taken away, traumatic memories. You know, the trauma, the pain of the memories have been taken away. Memories are still there, but it's not disempowering people as it used to. So when the person is ready to let go of whatever is keeping them back, whether, you know, it's an emotional pain, whether it's a physical affliction, when they're ready to let go of it, reconnective healing may be an appropriate avenue to help you release those blockages within yourself.
Okay, well, yeah, that's wonderful. That really gives us a better idea of it, and it sounds like it's just an amazing experience to have a session like that, and especially like you said, when somebody
It's different for everybody. You know, what you experience, you know, what you Mike experience or what you Mark experience would be completely different. And, you know, your first session, your second session also would be completely different. And it's not about consistency, because we kind of try to take expectation, you know, out of the equation. We just let the divine express itself creatively.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay, well.
So Mark, you had said in the beginning, you know, basically you were praying, and, you know, then you noticed that the light came in, and that was kind of like a big shift for you. When that occurred, you know, when you could feel your heartbeat through your whole body and you went through that experience, how was your life before and then how was your life different afterwards?
Well, before, basically I feel like maybe before the support I had in my life wasn't really helping me to grow spiritually. You know, I had a lot of support, a lot of people loved me, wanted to see me thrive. But, you know, no one could tell me I could be a healer. That wasn't even my vocabulary. I didn't even know what that was. So it was a lot of limitations, mostly because of ignorance, because I didn't even know a lot of these things existed. And, you know, once my eyes were opened, it was, like I said, within weeks, I was being introduced to people. Someone gave me a business card. Someone recommends a book. Someone recommends, you know, I see someone else. And it was just one after the other, just support came into my life. I met new people who were able to really support my gifts that I didn't even know I had and to help me to really grow more into, you know, the healer that I am today.
Since the expansion of that and, you know, just kind of taking a step back, how did it unfold that you got directed to go to learning reconnective healing?
It was within weeks after my golden light experience. I had talked to a friend of mine, Artie Hoffman, who is a psychic intuitive. I had gone to him before for guidance. And he just really felt like he had to give me a card for a friend of his, Patricia Pedersen, who does acupressure, who does healing work. Now she does nutritional work. And, you know, we're kind of somewhat kindred spirits in a way. And so once I had a session with her, you know, she could immediately feel the energy in my body. When she was actually, I went to her for acupressure. And, you know, with acupressure, you know, she's putting her thumb and her fingers on each and every major energy center of the body. And what she felt when she put her hands on me was very, very different from when other people came to her. She would feel like two energetic bodies interacting. And so she started talking to me about it. And so she kind of helped me and kind of gave me some other visualization tools and recommended some books. And she said, hey, you know, I was doing my own kind of healing work and I was doing Reiki, but once I read this book, The Reconnection, so much more was coming through. And it really helped her to expand and to more of her gifts and for more energy to come through, for different expressions of divine healing energy to come through her hands and through her presence. And so it was almost immediately after my Golden Light experience that somebody recommended the book to me. And it wasn't until 2010 that I actually decided to go to the seminars, because I felt like the seminars weren't really necessary until I was ready to be a professional, until I was ready to share this with other people.
Mm-hmm. So it was interesting, because I think originally when I started to learn about reconnective healing, I think someone had suggested Eric Pearl's book, and I read that book, and I have to say I've read a lot of different spiritual books, but to this day I want to say that that's the only book that I felt that I read that I actually could feel energy moving while I was actually reading the book.
Yeah, and a lot of people say that. You know, a lot of people say once they picked it up, you know, they could feel energy flowing through them once they picked it up in the bookstore. Or maybe they fell asleep with it in bed and they wake up the next day and their hands are buzzing. And, yeah, for me, you know, I actually had to read the book. You know, some people would just fall asleep with it and they got entrained to the energy. But as I was reading the book, yeah, I could feel kind of a consciousness expansion. And near the end of the book, The Reconnection, by Dr. Eric Pearl, near the end of the book, there are some simple exercises that you could do to activate your hands so that you could have a more complete spectrum of healing energy flowing through your hands. And once I did that, I was very happy. You know, I looked down on my hands, and you know, I could see like marbleization of the blood. It would be even hard to describe it, but it was kind of some weird psychedelic patterns going on my hands themselves. Just pale spots and red spots from the blood moving, and yeah, it felt very tremendous energy coming through. And so the book itself is like an attunement. And, you know, Eric Prell even says, he's not in the warehouse in a golden robe waving a wand over the books. It's the information. It's the information itself that, you know, entrains you to this beautiful healing spectrum.
Yeah. It, you know, I find that there's two people that are two types of people that I direct to Eric Prell's work. First of all, anybody who's professional licensed who wants to learn how to do healing work without actually looking like they're doing healing work. That's one group of people I always send to the Eric Prell stuff. So I get a lot of, it was very interesting because I think I remember when I took my class down in Miami to get certified for reconnective healing, I want to say that 80% of the class was all licensed professionals. There was nurses and doctors and dentists and psychiatrists and, you know, surgeons and, you know, anybody that you would know that would basically, you know, get in trouble if they actually started, you know, putting their hands on somebody in a Reiki position or something like that. And, you know, there's, you know, without giving the whole show away, there's a way of doing the reconnective healing that you can basically do it where no one really knows what's going on. So I've had these discussions before I talk about the second group of people. I've had these discussions with a number of people, and a lot of people say, well, is it really ethical? You know, one of the things that most people learn in healing is that you should ask permission, but, you know, one of the key aspects of healing work is that, you know, you can always do healing, just like you would always, you can always pray for somebody, right? You don't have to ask somebody to pray for them.
Right.
You know, with certain types of healing, you can always do healing. You can always, like when I'm walking down the sidewalk and I want to send healing energy to somebody, I might just do it. And the way I look at it is if that healing is not supposed to happen, the energy will actually get blocked. It'll either get blocked by the guides or it'll get blocked by a higher level presence. So lots of times, you know, especially when I used to do Reiki, I would do things like I would go out into a middle of, in the middle of the ocean, I'd start doing healing energy on the entire ocean or something like that. And,
great.
Or if I'm in the middle of a stadium, like I used to do this when I was at SeaWorld, I'd be at the, you know, the orca show or something like that with the killer whales or, you know, and it'd be a stadium of like 500 or 600 people. And I would just start doing Reiki healing energy, not only to all the animals in the park, but also all the people in the stadium. And it's kind of like, you know, first of all, if people know me and they've met me, they know I'm not a big fan of rules. I do understand the idea behind free will and stuff like that. So I understand that lots of times if I do things, you know, there might be somebody blocking it, such as a higher level presence. But, you know, at the same time, I don't put myself in limitations of stuff like, well, oh, I can only heal one person at a time, or, you know, if you heal all those people, you're going to get drained and stuff. Because for me, I always connect up, I connect down, I connect up to heaven, I connect down to earth, I pull energy. Energy is source, you know, particularly if I'm doing, let's just say, Reiki work. There's no limitation to the amount of energy that I can move. There's no, it's not like I'm going to, it's not like I only have 99% of my battery filled and, you know, if I do two or three healings, then my battery's drained and I got to go, you know, it's like, you know, that's a limitation. It's like there, you know, to me, there is no limitations. So a lot of people, I think, have their own belief systems and, you know, that's fine for them. But yeah, I was going to say the second group of people that I always kind of direct to Eric Prell's work is anybody who's just starting and wants to learn energy healing. You know, in the day when I was coming through it, and, you know, it's not that I need to go back that far. I mean, we're talking 4 years for me. You know, it seemed like anybody who wanted to get started in healing work started with Reiki. And Reiki, and I'm not putting it down for any reason, is still a really good modality to learn. I have a lot of my friends that are actual Reiki teachers. And, you know, it's definitely a good way to start. But most of the time when people ask me for a recommendation these days, they're like, oh, I'm interested in healing work. I'm like, go do Eric Pearl's introduction training, you know.
Great.
Those are like the two camps. Mike, did you have a question?
Oh, I just wanted to make a couple comments. Yeah, I agree with the Reiki. I just got my Reiki master this past summertime. And, you know, it was something that it was neat to see a lot of the healing that I've been doing for a long time, hands-on and also combined with my music, and then actually get the official training of the Reiki and actually see where the things have blended together that I just didn't maybe logically put together until I learned the symbols and different things like that. But I do agree that, you know, Reiki is a great place to start, and I do have an interest in the reconnective that I healing that I might explore myself someday. But the other thing I wanted to mention too, which is interesting, is like you were saying, Mark, about, you know, knowing where to put your hand and you kind of feel the warm spot or the wherever you're guided to when you're working on somebody. You know, it kind of reminds me as well when I do a music sound healing session on somebody. You know, I get those same kind of feelings and nudges myself from spirit. And whereas, you know, all my hands-on is basically playing the keys and the piano, you know, when I'm doing a session for somebody. But, you know, I feel the vibrations and the shifts, and I feel like, you know, when I should play louder, when I should play softer, when I should play like a more instrument that has higher vibrations or an instrument that has lower vibrations. And so it's amazing, you know, how healing in so many different modalities is very much the same, very much the same concepts, whether you're doing it hands-on or whether you're doing it with music. And, you know, even if you're doing a massage where you're connected, and, you know, I'm sure I would assume you have the same kind of experience with the acupressure. Do you ever find, Mark, when you're doing the acupressure that you kind of are guided as to, you know, how hard to press on a certain area, or do you get any kind of intuitive feelings as you're working with somebody with that modality?
On occasion, the method of acupressure I learned, it's typically like 90% the same for everybody. It's the same spots. You kind of, you know, you start at A and you end at Z. But,
okay,
you know, at each point, some people, you know, I may only be on one point for a few seconds. I may be there for a whole minute. So, yeah, it's somewhat, I know, you know, how long I need to stay there. And, you know, I love the acupressure because it gives me an outlet for hands-on healing. Whereas with reconnective healing, you know, my hands are maybe a few feet from the body. And the benefit of that is the closer, this is the way I see it anyway, the closer the hands are to the body or when you're even touching the body, the vibrations tend to be a little, maybe a little bit lower vibrational, but it's more what the body can process. And the further you go out, it might get stronger or higher vibrational. And, you know, that has great benefits for reconnective healing because the further you go out from the body, the higher vibration the energy coming through is, and people can really have spectacular experiences. But, you know, some people may not be ready for that. Some people may not really be all that open to those higher vibrations. So I love the acupressure as an outlet where I can still do lay on hands healing. But Reiki, for me, I kind of feel like it's silly to offer reconnective healing and Reiki and acupressure. So my outlet for lay on hands healing, everything I learned from Reiki, I apply it to the acupressure. When I put my hands on someone with acupressure, to me, it's a form of lay on hands healing. But, you know, it's a little more scientific because now I understand, you know, there's certain points where there's kind of micro chakras or however you want to see them, these kind of little energy centers all through the body. I know where they are, and I know where to go. And, you know, I stay there as long as I'm needed before I move on to the next point. It just opens up the flow of chi, of life force energy throughout the body.
Let me go ahead and just do the quick break for everybody. You've been listening to the Men's Spiritual Hour. If you're just tuning in now, we have Mark with us today, our guest, and what we do is we bring in a spiritual person who's male to kind of talk about his journey once a month, and that's why we created the Men's Spiritual Hour. We're, of course, on Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find out more about this show and other shows by going to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Mark, why don't you go ahead and give out your website so people know how to find you?
Right. Well, you could go markmerlo.com or InSpiritNJ, InSpiritNJ, NJ as in New Jersey, .com.
Sounds like you ended up doing the same thing I did. When I created Spiritual Journey, I couldn't get the name, so I ended up doing the NJ on it.
Right.
It's like everybody goes out there and buys up all the good names and then tries to sell it to you for like $10,000.
Right. But at the same time, I got Jersey Pride, so why not?
Yeah, right?
same with my website.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you go ahead and give out your website, because you have some incredible music and everything that people can go check out that's actually channeled.
Oh, sure. On my website I have some of the different CDs that I've created that are available for purchase and download, and then there's also a lot of classes meditation classes that both Mark and Mark on here and myself all attend with our friend Brigida in New Jersey. And she does a lot of meditation classes and channeling classes with Saint Germain and different things like that, that I play the music along with the guided meditations. And a lot of those classes are available for download. There's some ones on there that are free and also some other ones on there that are for purchase. Anyhow, I have a wealth of information on my website with all sorts of different things like that on it. And the site is www.mikesnydercc.com.
That's great. Thanks, Mike. Hey, Mark, what other types of modality work do you do now that you've kind of gone on this path of healing?
I mean, really, not so much modalities. I'm developing more my visualization. That's what came to me first, was visualizing and connecting with Source through imagining light and different colors. So I'm really developing that more, and that helps me to open up more, and I use that more for my inner work. But when I do that, when I imagine light coming into me, and I'm doing the feel, sense, notice of reconnective healing, just kind of feeling the energy, a lot more tends to happen. So for me, I'm going more in a visual direction, and I offer to share what I've learned with people at my meetup group, which meets once a month. That's meetup.com/inspirit, InSpirit. And, I have once a month at my office, I teach people visualizations. Imagine the violet fire. Imagine purple light. Imagine golden light coming into you, white light, many different things. And, whether it's for self-healing, to balance, if it's just energetic hygiene, just like taking a shower, just kind of washing off all the residual energy from the day. So that's more the direction I'm going in now, is using my imagination.
That's incredible. Do you also do the what's called the reconnection?
Yes, I do the reconnection. And do we have time to get into that right now?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and talk about that and let people know how that's a little bit different? Because I know for myself, I got certified in that, and it's a class you take that's beyond the first class, but it's also taught by Eric Pearl and his team.
Right. So Eric Pearl was a chiropractor before he got into healing. And he had went to someone, a tarot card reader, to receive something called an axiotonal alignment. And this is an alignment that reconnects your meridian lines, the same lines they work with in acupressure or acupuncture, your energetic circulatory system. It kind of plugs your energetic grid back into the earth and back into the universal matrix. So you're reconnected to, this is something we had in ancient times, you're reconnected to the flow of information and light that connects all sentient things in the universe. And, we have, so with Eric Pearl, he was acting as a healer, but as a chiropractor, he didn't even know much about energy healing. Once he received this alignment, he went back to work over the weekend, went back to work on Monday, and now people are feeling his hands before he's touching them. People are having miraculous healings happen. And, so the reconnective healing is the energy that this alignment unleashed in Eric Pearl by reconnecting him to his highest potential. The alignment itself that he received before he discovered his healing abilities, that alignment he learned, and he kind of rebranded it as the reconnection. So now the same thing that helped Eric Pearl to become the healer that he is now, he now teaches it as the reconnection. And what's beautiful is it incorporates these new healing frequencies, and it's kind of a new expression of an ancient practice that's called, the axiotal alignment. It's easier to just say the reconnection. And the reconnection is really not so much for healing per se, not so much for physical, mental, emotional healing. It's really to help you to reconnect to source and to reconnect to your highest potential. It's a one-time alignment, and you only receive it once in your life, and it unfolds throughout the rest of your lifetime. And once you're reconnected, doors are going to open up. New people are going to come into your life. New opportunities are going to come into your life to help you to become the best you that you could be, to help you to unfold into more of your highest potential. So reconnective healing is great for, mind, body, soul. The reconnection is for your life. It really just helps to, it's like a life path alignment. It's like a life path optimizer and accelerator. And if you really want to soar, if you really want to move fast into your potential, you really want to achieve everything you can in life, the reconnection can help you to move with the wind against your back, to have that Godspeed as you move forward.
I know when I was down in Miami and I was taking the actual healing class, I felt very drawn, because when you take the healing class, because it takes a couple days, so the class starts on Friday and ends on Sunday, to get certified to do reconnective healing. There is a number of the practitioners who actually are certified to teach around the world who are actually there doing sessions like every night and weekend and all that kind of stuff. And even though I had no plans to go and learn how to do the reconnection, I was very, very drawn to actually doing that. So I had a chance to actually work with one of the practitioners, and it was such an incredible experience. It was very interesting when I was, to kind of give people a little background on it, when I was going through my experience, you do it in two sessions because you have to have one sleep state between each session. So I had one session Friday night? Yeah, I had one session Friday night and then one session Saturday night. And it takes 2 days for them to do the work. And you need that sleep cycle and everything in there. And it was really interesting because on the second day, when they were doing the work, there was almost like this pop in my body. Like it sounded like my spine aligned or something like that. And I thought I was hearing things. And, one of the really neat things about that experience is they sit you down afterwards and they ask you to kind of off the top of your head, give any thoughts, feelings, or anything you observed during the session, and they write it down for you. And it's really just to kind of have you put your focus on something for a second just to notice what your experience has been like. And I said, yeah, it was like right in the middle of the session was all these things. It was like you were on one side of the space, and I could feel things on, like something was touching my feet, and I knew you were down by my head. And there was all kinds of music, and there was feelings, and there was lights, and, all kinds of stuff. And then there was this pop, And the woman who was the one that worked on me, she's like, yeah, I heard it too. And when they do these sessions, the way they do it is there's normally two people working. So there was another person who was working on another one of the fellow students that was there, and then there was the woman who was working on me. So there was like four of us in the room, and everybody heard the noise. And, we're not quite sure what exactly was going on there. But it is very interesting, just like Mark said, to see all the different things that unfold after that. So, I guess just to kind of branch off into this for a minute or two, Mark, can you share with us some of the feedback you've had by doing the reconnection on people?
Yeah, sure. I mean, sometimes it's not always obvious right away. It might be a hindsight kind of thing. And sometimes we could have new people, new opportunities come into our life, but just take them for granted. So sometimes it's a hindsight thing. Sometimes 3 months, 6 months later, people look back and they see how much they've really grown. Maybe it's only been a few months, but it feels like 3 years have gone by. Not because it's been dragged out, because they've achieved so much, because so much has happened. I've had people, maybe their business takes off a little better, maybe networking takes off better, career changes in relationship, all positive. And, sometimes people were trying to get a project off the ground, and they couldn't. Or, maybe someone was trying to get a relationship off the ground. Someone had a relationship with somebody, and it just couldn't sync up. It just couldn't go farther with that relationship that they wanted to. After the reconnection, I don't want to take any credit, but, they're married now. So it can help to lift the obstacles out of your way that are in your life. The healing sessions are great to remove the obstacles from your mind, your emotions, your body. The reconnection is for your life.
Well, while we're at it, why don't we go ahead and give out Eric Pearl's website, so if anybody's interested in either A, getting their just getting started with learning a healing modality, or B, wanting to find someone like yourself or me who can actually give them the reconnection sessions. There's there's schedules of classes, and then there's directories of practitioners. There's also practitioners that are listed on the Eric Pearl website that do energy healing. So if you're looking for an energy healer in your area, there are so many great certified reconnective healing practitioners around the country. So go ahead and give out that website so we can get that out to everybody.
It's just The Reconnection, thereconnection.com.
Excellent. So we're kind of winding down to the final part of the show, and I got one final question for you. But before we do that, Mike, why don't you go ahead and if you got a question or not.
One thing I wanted to also talk about is, do you ever happen to feel any kind of presences around you when you're doing the work on people? And I know it's an interesting thing because depending on how open a person is when you're doing the healing work on them, I would assume you probably get the intuitive feeling whether it's something that you mentioned to them or not, or if it's a guidance just for yourself instead of for them. But have you ever gotten to that space where you kind of get like a nudge of maybe you even feel like a guide for the person or somebody who passed over or anything like that when you do the healing work?
On occasion, yes, in various ways. I always invite, the hierarchy of life, I always invite the angels and their guides to be present. And, I might be at the foot of the table, and I know someone's at the head of the table, at the massage table. So, yes, I do absolutely feel a presence sometimes. I've had clients open their eyes because they heard me somewhere else in the room where they thought I was not. They thought I was standing over them at their head, and they heard me at their feet, and they opened their eyes to look around for me. Like, oh, I thought you were over here. It's like, no, that was someone else helping you out. It's always positive. I've had people open their eyes and actually see, like, an ascended master sitting there right on my massage stool, right in my office, just relaxing. And, just with a beard and a robe and just looking glorious. And I was like, yeah, okay, great, sometimes I do feel like it's more my responsibility to actually be a channel for presence. I had Mother Mary a few weeks ago come through for a very powerful healing for a woman. And sometimes it may just be a song come into my head. And on occasion, I've mentioned, hey, I don't know if this is significant, but, this song was in my head. This David Bowie song, Ziggy Stardust, was in my head. It's like, oh, my friend who passed away loved that song, I don't do a lot of that. It doesn't happen that often. But on occasion, these things come up. People might feel a presence or, I may channel a presence. I might not even know who it is. It may just be a color. I may just imagine a color. On the other side of that spectrum, because some people get scared when they hear a presence, is around.
Mm-hmm.
They might think, something dark is happening. On two occasions, I have had people see a dark entity before them during a healing session. And what happened was, and I remember those sessions very well, and I remember bringing in Archangel Michael. And what happened was, you know, one of them was my best friend. And he says he felt fear for the first time in his life, and there was this dark entity right next to him. But then it was gone. And he even taunted it and called it back. He was like, show yourself. And nothing happened. They were gone. So I do believe negative entities are removed. Those attachments are removed. And I know that my office is a very safe place, very protected by the angels, and only good things can happen. And if there is going to be a presence, it's going to be for your highest good.
Mm, yeah.
Well, I think that's like when – go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, and I understand what you're saying completely, and, you know, it's – you know, those occasions when things do come up, you know, and a person is open to hearing it, you know, I know a lot of times it winds up being a great confirmation for them because, you know, there's always a lot of things going on in people's heads, especially when they're having a healing session. They might have certain things that come up, and then, you know, when you're nudged to give them the message, which is something that was already playing through their head, they get that confirmation like, oh, wow, you know, that really is what I thought it was, you know. And so it's just amazing how that can happen sometimes.
Mm. You know, I think what was interesting, and I noticed this from reading the book and also doing the training, is that, you know, if anybody's not familiar with Dr. Eric Pearl's work, if you read his book, you find that there's a lot of things where he's kind of like, well, you know, you don't need to have protection. You don't have to have this or that. You know, if you're working with divine energy, it's like, you know, what do you need protection from, you know, from? So I always find that was interesting. I noticed, Mark, earlier you were saying that it's kind of like, you know, that when you set the space for the room and you're working with energy, you know that things are there that need to be there and that there isn't stuff that doesn't belong.
Correct, you know, and I think if some people could get different things from Eric Pearl's message, but I think if you read between the lines, what's really important to get is not to invite fear into the equation. You know, so if, you know, many people, they call in their angels, they see themselves in a violet fire. I do all those things, but I don't invite fear. You know, I don't do it because, oh, my God, if I don't do this, something terrible is going to happen. It's I'm just surrounding myself with love. And I know that when you invite that love, that divine presence, the love of the divine presence, you are protected, right? When you love somebody, you want to protect them. If it's really love, mm-hmm. you know, if you love somebody, you want to protect them. So it's as easy as being open to the love of the divine and let that envelop you and let that fill that healing space. And that's all you need. You don't need to be afraid because that fear itself, that is the door to invite those more awkward and uncomfortable experiences. It's just, you know, be in love and be, you know, as long as you're in that light, in that love, and you're inviting that divine presence, you don't need to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not the, you know, and I think you made a good point, and that is, you know, for the lots of people, even though I might be doing the reconnective or the, you know, the healing work, you know, even though I understand I don't need to call in angels and I don't need to call in different things, I will do whatever I need to meet the person for where they're at. Some of my clients, they work better if I put a crystal next to them, but that's because that's what they believe in. So lots of times, you know, even though I know with the healing work that I do that it's not necessary, I know that if you want to work with that particular person, you know, you might need to call in an angel or something like that. And it's funny because if, you know, for a lot of people who know my story, they know that when I first started doing healing work, when I was doing Reiki and doing Reiki shares, which is when you have groups of people come together to share healing experiences, you know, I had angels showing up even before I knew what the angels were. I mean, of course, I had the religious background on it, but I didn't know the spiritual aspects of it. It actually was kind of backwards because I learned Reiki. I started doing healing work. I noticed angels show up, and that started my whole investigation into angels and what are they and how can you use them in healing work. And, you know, it's kind of blossomed from there. And it was funny because it was just – you know, I would be working on somebody on the table, and all of a sudden Archangel Michael or Archangel Raphael would be there, and I was like, all right, well, why are these energies here all of a sudden? You know, and it's like they would just come in. And, you know, to this day when I work on certain people, I have new energy show up. You know, it might be like some kind of Archangel that I haven't really worked with that much, let's just say like Metatron. And I actually have to go to the book and look it up and figure out why that archangel is there. So it's actually been a really interesting experience for that. Mike, did you have anything else? I'm going to go ahead and fire off one last question to Mark.
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. Well, you know, before we wrap things up, Mark, why don't you go ahead and give out your website to everybody again so they know how to find you, especially your meetup link.
Right. So, you know, my business is called In Spirit. It's one word, I-N, Spirit. And the website is inspiritnj.com. The meetup is on meetup.com, and it's just meetup.com/inspirit. And you'll see me there, In Spirit of Union. And, you know, you'll see my face. And there I have usually the first Friday of the month at 8 p.m., I have a guided visualization. And we all get together, and it's just usually a small group and in my office. And, you know, I share some simple visualizations, very simple, just imagining colors, maybe imagining purple light in your heart, maybe imagining your whole body in white light, different things. And by the end of the night, you know, everyone's pretty much adept at the visualization, and by the end of the night, we're seeing the whole world in light. And so the first few minutes is to kind of clear yourself from the day, just kind of like energetic hygiene, getting rid of the residual energy from the day, to relaxing, opening up, and then we start getting into self-healing, and then we start to just share that beautiful healing energy with the whole world.
Oh, that's great. Mark, in closing, what is the biggest lesson you've learned so far in your spiritual journey?
Maybe it's a little cliche, but, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. It's from Gandhi. And, you know, I look back at, you know, the times where I didn't have the support, where, you know, I wish it would have saved me a lot of trouble if someone went back to me when I was, you know, 12 years old, 13 years old, and gave me the tools that I have now. I would have been very different, and I feel like I would have been much farther along in my healing journey, but that's just not the way it was. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to be that support for people who wouldn't otherwise have it, and that does motivate me. And that's why, you know, that's one reason why I have my office, is so that I can be there for people when they need me. Because if I'm not there, then they're not going to be getting the help that they need. So just, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. Follow your passion. Follow your excitement. And, you know, be creative. Be an artist. And just, you know, let, you know, your life is your greatest masterpiece. And let yourself be an artist and express yourself through your life.
Mm. Well, thank you for being on the show, Mark. And, Mike, it's always great to have you on. And you guys have a great night. And thanks a lot, everybody. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.
And the cost left my heart broken, so I had it closed for repairs. Wandering in my desert, your oasis appears. You're like a long, cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you are.